This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Good morning, I'm Tim Rout. Welcome to Hope Radio. Today we're going to be asking one of the big questions. How can we adopt God's perspective on everything, including COVID-19? Father, thank you for allowing us to do this today. Minister to our hearts. We need your encouragement and your life. May every aspect of this simple program be a blessing to everyone that hears and bring great glory to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Lauren Daigle kicking us off, Trust in You, on Hope Radio.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow.
Opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
Welcome to Hope Radio, a non-denominational Christian celebration in song, spirit, and the word. Thanks for dropping by. My name's Tim Rout. Today, and in coming weeks, our goal is very simple. We're going to take a good long look at life, the world, and everything else through God's eyes. We live in confusing and immeasurably challenging times that make very little sense. We can hardly predict what things are going to look like next week, never mind next month. But as mystifying and anxiety-inducing as all this can be, one thing is certain. God knows exactly what's going on. This is His world. He alone is sovereign. If we want to have peace, if we want to live in genuine, abiding hope, we desperately need to know Him and adopt His perspective. Hope Radio is about proclaiming the gospel to the towns and cities of the North. Gospel means good news. Sometimes the word is used to describe the first four books of the New Testament, the biographies about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In this case, we're using it in its broader sense. The gospel message is the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. But before we can get to the good news, first, we need to consider the bad news. The good news that your cancer is treatable only looks good if you first recognize you have cancer. But interestingly, the bad news doesn't seem especially bad, at least not at first. You see, the bad news is God is holy. He is perfect in every respect. In fact, His glorious character is the basis upon which holiness is defined. And why is that bad news? Because God is holy, and we are not. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Your existence doesn't end when you're done here on earth, and the Bible says the moral standard for entrance into heaven is perfection, and we're not perfect, not by a long shot. God originally created mankind sinless. You might remember the story of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden. God gave our first parents complete freedom to enjoy everything in the perfectly lush and beautiful garden He'd created for them. You could go for decades and never see and enjoy absolutely everything of the bounty God provided. He held back absolutely nothing from them except one little thing. Of the thousands of trees and other greenery from which Adam and Eve were free to eat without restraint, even the tree of life that would make you impervious to physical death, there was this one little, seemingly insignificant tree that God told them not to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He warned them that if they should eat from that one tree, they would surely die. If you're familiar with the story, Genesis chapter 3, a fallen angel, Lucifer, who had chosen to become the enemy of God, took the form of a serpent. We're never told if he possessed an actual snake or whether he simply created the illusion that he was a serpent, but he had a conversation with Eve, tempting her to eat from the forbidden tree. At first she resisted, but ultimately she gave in. The Bible says she was deceived. But Adam was right there with her. He was not deceived. He knew better. Eve handed him that fruit. He chose to eat it, and instantly, both of them began to die. Have you ever wondered why it is that after all these millennia, no matter the culture, death still feels wrong? Human beings were not originally designed to die. Something inside each one of us still whispers that. Death is wrong. This is wrong. He was too young. She shouldn't have gone so soon. It's not supposed to be this way. And the moment Adam and Eve sinned, their bodies began to age and slowly die. More importantly, their spirits immediately died, and their once warm, close, familial relationship with God was completely broken. Our original parents had children who had children who eventually had us. From Eve, we have inherited our humanity. From Adam, we have inherited our sinful nature. All people are born with a sinful nature because of Adam's sin. I should mention, the Bible never blames Eve for this, just Adam. It's a doctrine called federal headship. We'll talk about that some other time. And because we are the children of Adam and Eve, we too have a dead human spirit, just like them. Each one of us, born separated from God and, believe it or not, at war with God. Bottom line, every single person ever born, with the exception of the Lord Jesus, was born with a sinful nature. To sin means to break God's biblical law. And as the old saying goes, if you do the crime, you do the time. God is perfect, and therefore perfectly just. He must punish every sin, and he will. That's what hell is for. Some people ask, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? Well, it's true. The Bible clearly says God is love, but God is also holy, jealous, just, kind, patient, unchanging, and a whole bunch of other things, and all at the same time. So in his justice, God must punish every sin, but in his love, he makes a way of escape so you don't have to pay for your own sins. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And some people ask, why would hell be forever? People only have a brief lifetime in which to commit a finite number of sins. And the answer to this question is twofold. Firstly, hell provides infinite punishment for sins because every sinner has offended an infinitely holy God. And secondly, just because a person is thrown into hell doesn't mean he stops sinning. The Bible describes hell as a place where there is endless, mournful weeping and continuous expressions of fierce, rebellious anger. In the biographical Bible book called the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, we find these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love, and in his abundant love, he made a way for undeserving sinners like me and you to not go to hell, to not pay for our sin. But how can the holy, just Lord of heaven and earth let anyone off the hook? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 in the Old Testament says, the soul that sins shall die. The first part of Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. In his perfect justice, God must punish every sin. You see, either I must pay the bill for my sins in hell, or someone else must pay the bill in my place. And that's where the good news comes in. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, voluntarily gave up his infinitely valuable life on the cross in order to pay the sin debt for anyone, and I mean anyone, who will repent and trust him for salvation. And Jesus didn't stay dead, remember? He rose again on the third day, bodily resurrection, and later ascended into heaven where he is right now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Earlier I mentioned that gospel means good news, and is the message about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for sinners like you and me. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He has always been the Son and will always be the Son. At Christmas time, we celebrate a unique moment in history when the Lord Jesus voluntarily entered into the world, adding to his undiminished deity a full, complete humanity. Jesus became the God-man. And he lived a perfect, sinless life, unlike the rest of us who inherited a sinful nature from Adam. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are born sinners. Jesus' father was God himself. Born miraculously of the Virgin Mary, he was completely human, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, which made him completely perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ, Christ means Messiah, the specially anointed servant of God, predicted in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ grew up as a normal Jewish boy. He learned the trade of his stepfather, Joseph, you know, carpentry. And then at the age of 30, Jesus began his public preaching ministry. Recorded in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said this, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. To repent means to turn away from everything God calls sin. To believe the gospel means to embrace by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical belief is a loaded term. It means far more than giving intellectual assent to an idea. It means surrendering one's life to the Lord, heart and soul. I should mention, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, a very old dialect of Greek called koine. Here, the verbs repent and believe are in the aorist imperative, sometimes called the present continuous tense. In other words, The kind of repenting and believing Jesus is talking about are ongoing. When someone becomes a Christian, a genuine follower of Christ, one repents of sin and keeps on repenting, believes and keeps on believing all the way through life, every single day. Now understand, nobody can possibly work their way into heaven. The Bible says that all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Nobody can earn their way into heaven. Salvation, eternal life, is a free gift that must simply be received through the empty hand of faith. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But a genuinely saved person will be changed. And two of the things that mark the life of a genuinely saved, genuinely forgiven child of God is ongoing repentance and ongoing faith. If it's not obvious, let me say for the record that a person who has been made alive in Christ, that is, a person who has received eternal life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is still a human being and still lives in a fallen fleshly body with a sinful nature that drives us to sin every day. And so we need to keep repenting and keep believing, one day to the next. That only stops when the Christian arrives in heaven. It should be pointed out that relatively few of those who hear the good news about Jesus Christ choose to repent and believe. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12, though, it says, "But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Those who receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, those who believe in his name, the name Jesus means Savior, these are the ones and the only ones to whom God gives the right to become his adopted, forgiven, redeemed children. So that leaves the question. Have you repented of your sins? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, bowing the knee to him as your new master? Earlier, I mentioned that Jesus died and rose again. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word saved can have a variety of meanings, but in the New Testament, it almost always refers to being saved from your sins. But with COVID-19 scourging the world and any number of other disasters waiting in the wings, what does all this have to do with the price of tea in Tibet? The coronavirus has had many unexpected effects, most of them bad. However, if there's a silver lining to this mess we find ourselves in, perhaps it's this. We have been forced once again to consider more deeply our own mortality and the fact that no one has promised you tomorrow. Not to be morbid, but in the end, death is going to catch up with absolutely all of us. It's one of the few things all people have in common. But you don't need to fear death, or life for that matter, if you're in a saving, adopted love relationship with the God who is in control of everything. Pandemics and other natural disasters can seem so random, so pointless. But God is sovereign over all things. This is his world. Even COVID-19 must obey him, and that means, whether the disease touches your life directly or not, COVID-19 ultimately serves God's purposes. You're sitting here, listening to this simple Bible message, not only because you've chosen it, but because God has chosen it. He planned this very moment right now for you. He loves you, and he both invites and commands that you repent of your sins and embrace his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. And my prayer for you right now is that God, your Creator, might extend his hand of mercy to you, remove that rebellious heart of stone you've been nursing all these years, and grant you a beautiful miracle, a new heart of flesh, soft and full of faith and repentance and joy and peace and everlasting life and hope. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us this time. Only you can grant life. Only you can change a broken, sinful heart into something new. Father, your Bible says that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. May it be so right now for everyone listening who doesn't know you. And for those whom you have already saved, Father, encourage them as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's a song that puts to music much of what we just talked about. Jeremy Camp, Christ in Me, on Hope Radio.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy. I once was chasing after, throw off these heavy chains that I have let become my master. With the things this world says make us happy, yeah. Can't see the slaves we are in all this searching, all the grasping, yeah. So come and empty me so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be only Christ.
Tim Rout has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.